We wait together for the coming of a Savior. We wait as men and women and youth and children have waited down through the centuries for a word of comfort and hope. With music and words from the past, we wait for Jesus to be born among us. So speak the word you have for us this morning, O God. Come into our lives again with love and challenge and kindness and hope. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I wait all day long, the psalmist said. Be alert. Watch, Jesus says. Stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. There is an almost perfect secular equivalent to the major biblical theme of waiting and watching in hope for the kingdom to come. It's in the air these days. In every store you enter, on the radio, local stations, if you have satellite, more and more stations are being taken up with Christmas music. Everyone knows the words. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
There is something almost painful, but at the same time delicious, about a child's waiting for Christmas, counting the days, anticipating, wishing, hoping until the night of December 24th. The waiting is so intense, so focused, that little ones have trouble falling asleep. We can probably all remember those times in our lives. It's a variation on the waiting we do all our lives. We wait to be old enough to go to school, to ride a bicycle, to get a driver's license, to graduate. We wait to land a job, to meet the right person. We wait for a promotion, for a raise. We wait for success. We wait all our lives for security. We wait for retirement. And I can't possibly preach a sermon on waiting in hope without mentioning the obvious. Fans of the Dallas Cowboys have been waiting in hope year after year. And all the buzz now is maybe it's this year. The buzz last year was maybe it's this year, right? There's something about waiting. Barbara Brown Taylor says that so focuses your attention that you cannot hear or see anything else. Lying in bed at night, unable to sleep, waiting for your child to come home, listening for the sound of the car in the driveway and the back door opening is so galvanizing, she said. I know, I've done it, that you literally shut out every other sound. Waiting is such a universal and deeply human experience. Some literary scholars think the most important work of literature of the 20th century is a play, Samuel Beckett's Waiting for Godot. The play is read and it's taught and it's discussed by students of our culture as a metaphor for the spiritual tenor of our times. Two men sit down to wait for Godot. They talk and they talk, and you're not really sure who Godot is, although Godot is spelled G-O-D-O-T. It seems like an obvious synonym for God. And the play ends, and Godot never comes. We are actually not very good at waiting. The late Henry Nouwen, Dutch priest and theologian who lived and taught in the United States until he died, was a very astute observer of American culture. And he wrote, waiting is not very popular. In fact, most people consider waiting to be a waste of time. The culture says, get going, do something, don't just sit there and wait. For many people, waiting is an awful desert between where they are and where they want to be. Patience is a challenge for us, a flight delay at the airport, an unanticipated traffic jam on the expressway, a meeting that drones on and on beyond the point of relevance or usefulness, except for church meetings, right? A doctor's appointment that leaves us sitting in a waiting room for an hour becomes a real crisis, emotional and physical, with elevated stress and heartbeat and blood pressure. Our culture does not reward or applaud patient waiting. Nouwen was right. Culture celebrates action and results and instant gratification. We are still sorting out the financial meltdown from years ago, failed banks and huge financial institutions collapsing, families going underwater, mortgage foreclosures. But everyone agrees that among the causes was and is the culturally celebrated, advertising-stimulated impatience of the American consumer. We want it all now. We are entitled to it, not years from now, but now. Someone said that the very best advice anyone could give an American is not, don't just sit there, do something, which continues to get us in all kinds of trouble. But the opposite, don't just do something, sit there. Waiting is a major biblical theme. I wait for the Lord all day long, the psalmist wrote, and one of my very favorites, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is a whole lot of waiting. And in the Bible, it happens in a situation that is bleak and not at all hopeful, the exile, which God's people have been defeated in and humiliated and expelled from their homes and their homeland. They've watched their beloved city and its magnificent temple be destroyed. That is to say, in very real hopelessness and despair. We sing about those people in Advent. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. Over and over again, their prophets and their poets advise them to wait and watch and wait in hope, for their God will come. In the gospel reading this morning for the first Sunday in Advent, waiting for God, waiting for the kingdom to come, is cast in dramatically apocalyptic language, disturbing, frightening images. Jesus and his disciples have just arrived in Jerusalem, and his Galilean friends are dazzled by all the wonderful sights, like tourists in a big metropolitan city. The shops and busy streets full of people, the magnificent temple like nothing they had ever seen before, the house of God, all of it. Jesus said, all of it could be gone in a minute, and some of them lived to see it happen. The destruction of the city and the temple when Rome crushed a rebellion and leveled the city and drove out its inhabitants, it was the end of the world as they knew it. This passage is a favorite for those who think that they can predict end times, the authors of the enormously popular Left Behind books, for instance, who see in current events a fulfillment of Jesus's first century warnings, portents in the heavens, signs in the stars, storms and wars. The modern version leads to Armageddon, the final battle between good and evil, the defeat of the Antichrist and the rapture. And for many, the way to get ready for it is to find an unused bomb shelter and stock up with water and food and arm yourself to the teeth and watch and wait for the battle. Jesus seems to have something else in mind. Be alert, he says, watch, stand up, raise your head. The waiting he has in mind, the coming of God, apparently is not to be dreaded, but eagerly awaited and hoped for. It will be a redemption, a fulfillment, a world coming as God intended it, a world characterized by justice and peace. A world where people will be secure and content. A time when little children will not be shot in the streets. Where 45,000 people do not die for lack of health care. A world where weapons are transformed into farm implements. A world characterized by kindness and compassion and love. Love of God and love of people and love of one another. Barbara Brown Taylor writes, be on guard. Jesus said, not so you will know when to grab your crash helmet and head for the basement, but so you will know where the kingdom of God is, so you will not miss God when God comes. Advent is the time when we begin serious waiting for Christmas, for the birth of the child. But it is also when we think about the future the child promised and embodied and taught and lived. The kingdom of God he promised was coming but is already present in the world if you can wait and watch patiently enough to see it. Waiting for that promised time is not waiting it out, sitting around whiling away the days and the weeks and the years of your life, killing time. No, Advent waiting is living into that future and working for the kingdom, supporting with your resources, advocating, arguing, voting, fighting for the kingdom. It is not the mindless, ultimately meaningless waiting of Beckett's Waiting for Godot, which some think is merely waiting for death. It is active waiting, confident waiting, waiting in hope. William Sloane Coffin told his then congregation at Riverside Church in Manhattan, "I don't want Riverside to be an institution for those interested in things religious. I want it to irrigate the community with hope." What a great image for the church. Irrigating the community with hope. Waiting for the kingdom by working for the values of the kingdom. Joining in the work Jesus Christ is already doing in the world. Working for his kingdom of justice and peace and kindness and generosity with a fierce hope that never dies. I want you to, for a minute, think of the many experiences we at Emmanuel have had over the years with the people of this community or in the Greenway neighborhood or your personal missional experience as you have been called by God, the call that God's placed on your life. That's what it means to watch for the kingdom by irrigating the community with hope. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. For children, it is a time of serious waiting. And for us, on this first Sunday of Advent, we wait too for the coming of God into our world and into our lives. God comes in ways we do not expect. Like the birth of a baby to a peasant couple in a remote outpost of the empire. And God comes with comfort through the kindness of a friend when we lose someone we love. God comes with healing through gentle touch, a nurse, a dear one. God comes with reassurance when we are afraid. God comes with energizing spirit when we are discouraged and life-giving love when we are depressed. And God comes in programs of churches, in people who understand a little of who Jesus Christ was and what he was about. People who love him and love the idea of his kingdom and a bit of that kingdom appearing right here in the life of the world. When they share his love with someone who needs it. The message of Advent is that God comes into the world to lonely exiles centuries ago and to you and to me. But we have to watch and we have to wait in hope and do the good work of waiting and hoping. God comes quietly in the birth of the child of Bethlehem long ago, and in the birth of love today, now, in the world, in your life and mine. This, my friends, is the good news of the gospel, the sharing of God's most precious gift, even Jesus Christ. May we seek him this Advent season, and in seeking, find the guiding star. Hallelujah. Amen.